You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros. The Astros have been looking toward the future for, I guess, really most of the season. That has not changed, but the cast of characters who are trying to finish out this season has changed a lot, thanks to quite a few injuries. And some guys are expected back soon, and some guys are expected back a little bit later than they originally thought. So let's get some insight on that from our MLB.com reporter, Brian McTaggart, who covers the Astros. Brian, it looked like George Springer, who everybody's been waiting to come back to the team, it looked like maybe he was on the fast track, but there seems to be a little bit of a setback. So what was the news coming out of the Astros recently on him?
Yeah, well, we found out on Tuesday that it's going to be at least another couple of weeks. If you remember, he was on a rehab a week ago last week at Class A Quad Cities, played in three games, had a little bit of a re-aggravation of his quad injury, came back to Houston and has been working out with the Astros for 4 or 5 days, but nothing really seemed to be moving in any direction. We just kept hearing days away, he's getting better, could happen any day. And then on Tuesday, we find out that he has had a little aggravation of the strain of his quad, and they're going to keep him out another couple of weeks. So you're looking at late August into September now before Springer will get back on the field. And you know, it's a huge hole in the lineup. I mean, he's only played in 78 games so far since he was called up in mid-April, but he had a huge impact. He had 20 home runs in that time frame, drove in 51 runs. And if you put that out over a full season, that's a 40-homer, 100 RBI guy you're losing in your lineup. And he was still growing as a hitter, and he was making a lot of strides defensively as well. So you're looking at September now, I would think, before we see him back on the field at first. The good news for the Astros is they going to get Dexter Fowler back for Wednesday game, and he's been out since July 27th with an intercostal strain. So without Fowler and Springer and even Alex Presley, who was starting and hitting pretty well before he got injured, the outfield's really been in tough shape here for the last month or so. But losing Springer is not good news, but getting Fowler back and Presley's going to be right behind him, I think, in a few days. That at least softens that blow a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about some of the young guys that are either improving or getting their feet wet, or, you know, we're definitely looking at who's got a real shot to make this team out of spring training next year. Mike Foltynewicz, who was a pretty high draft pick from several years ago, and everyone's been sort of waiting for him to finally get that call up. And he's been up, he's been pitching out of the bullpen. I understand that they'll probably be auditioning him for a starting role in spring training next year. But ultimately, I think that they really don't know what they have in him, if he's going to be a starter or maybe he'll be a closer. He certainly got the stuff to close. What do you think? How do you see this shaking out with Mike Foltynewicz?
Yeah, I think they would prefer him to start, and I think he's going to come to camp next year to start. And it's all going to come down to if he can refine his off-speed pitches a little bit, know when to use them in what counts, so be a little bit wiser about them instead of just trying to throw the 9,900-mile-an-hour gas by everybody. I think a guy that has an arm like him, you do everything you can to see if you can make him a starter. But if they realize that, you know, the third pitch isn't going to be there, then, you know, I think the bullpen is definitely an opportunity. Like you said, he has closer stuff. He can hit 100 miles an hour pretty consistently. He's even hit 103 in the minor league. So he's, along with Michael Feliz, has the hardest fastball in the system. But he's going to be a guy to watch. And, you know, we talked about it before, they do have quite a few candidates that are coming up in the minor leagues as far as starting pitchers. They could push some of the guys that are here now for spots. And maybe if one of those guys steps up and takes a spot in the rotation, maybe they'll be more willing to move Foltynewicz to the bullpen. But as of right now, I think they want to use this last 6 weeks of the season for him to work on his pitches, to just get used to pitching in the major leagues. And then I think when spring camp rolls around, he's going to be one of the guys competing for one of the starting spots.
And then on the other end, we got to talk about Domingo Santana. This was a guy who was the player to be named in the Hunter Pence trade, but we kept hearing the minute that he was announced as the player to be named, we kept hearing this might be the best player in this trade.
Yeah.
He was only like 18 years old, I think, or maybe even 17. He's very young when that trade was made. So he comes up, and, I mean, just the poor guy, he looks completely lost. And it's not just that he's having a hard time adjusting to the big leagues, it's he's not even making contact. So he's had just under maybe 20 at-bats, and I think all but three he struck out. He had a a really bad mental error in the field in a recent game, which I think you just kind of chalk that up to just inexperience, and he said he panicked. But is this alarming? I mean, the fact that he's not even able to come close to making contact, because it's not like he was brought up from single A. I mean, this is a guy who he was playing in triple A, so there shouldn't be this dramatic. What happens with him? How long do you let him do this? And you don't want a kid to bury himself to where it becomes like a mental thing that you can't get out of. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, you're right, Diddy. He's been completely overmatched at the plate, 0 for 17, 14 strikeouts. And you mentioned the mental error on Monday night where he just did not throw the ball back in the infield, just held it, and two runners scored. And, you know, it didn't cost him the game, but certainly something you don't see at the major league level. And, his teammates kind of rallied around him and said, they'll support him in any way they can. But, yeah, I think it's been really surprising how overmatched he's been at the plate, and it's got to be a concern. I know it's only 17 at-bats, but considering the way he hit in AAA and he was putting up pretty good numbers, I know that's a pretty big jump to make, and it took Springer a while, and Singleton is still trying to get his bat going completely at the major league level. So you have to be concerned. I don't want to compare him to anybody else, but I know when Jimmy Paredes was a guy for a couple of years who put up huge numbers at AAA, and when he came up to the major leagues, just did not translate up here, even though he was athletic, had a good arm, and he just did not have the baseball acumen. It's way too early to say Santana is going to be that guy yet. As you said, he was the guy in the trade that everyone's like, wow, they got him as well. That's really a coup for the Astros, more so than Cotard and some of the other guys. But I'm sure he'll be up in September, get some playing time. He's gonna have to get consistent at bats. Maybe if he gets a couple of hits under his belt, he'll get going. But certainly 0 for 17, 14 strikeouts, not exactly what they had in mind for Santana.
No, certainly. And then the other just fascinating topic on this team is Chris Carter, who we watched him for more than half of the season, and he was hitting under 200. This wasn't a streaky hitter. I mean, he would hit balls out of the park from time to time, but he either hit a home run or he made an out.
Yeah.
And he has totally turned this around. So he carried the offense through July, and he seems to really – I mean, he's probably added 40 points to his batting average, which is not easy to do this late in the season. So what has been the difference with him?
Yeah, he was hitting 180. Now he got up to close to 230, so that's a pretty huge jump considering the amount of at-bats leading the majors and home runs and OPS after July. And it was a complete shock to me because, like you said, either not only homered or made an out, he either hit a home run or struck out for the most part. Just did not put the ball in play. Just looked like he didn't have an approach at the plate. But now he seems like he's shortened his stroke a little bit. He's hitting the ball to right field. We see him getting some singles now. He's not just extra base hits, but he does have that great raw power. And I think he's picking better pitches to swing at. Now I think the confidence is built. When you do this for 6 weeks, you start believing in yourself a little bit more. And now the Astros, have to wonder, is this Chris Carter? Has he finally figured it out, or is this just a hot streak? Is he somewhere in the middle? But, it came at a good time because, like we were talking about before, the outfield was thin with a couple of their bigger bats, even though Carter's a DH. But they didn't have Fowler and they didn't have Springer. So they needed someone in the offense to step up. And he's kind of helped the offense keep their head above water a little bit, even though they struggled. But if he would have been hitting like he was for the first 3 months of the season and you didn't have those two guys in the lineup as well, I think they would have lost a few more games in July and early August than they did. So he's going to be really interesting to watch over the final 6 weeks if he can keep this going, especially when they get the lineup back together and Fowler's back on the lineup and where do they hit and if Castro can ever get it going. So all of a sudden Chris Carter is a guy everyone – when he's up to bat now, people stop and watch because, he's got the ability to hit the ball half a mile.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, let's talk a little bit about Jose Altuve. The Astros are attempting to be creative when it comes to signing guys. They're a team that they don't have a lot of money to spend. We don't know if they have any money to spend. They signed Jose Altuve just to such a team-friendly contract. And 4 years, $12 million. It looked like a contract from, the early 90s. He's signed through 2017. There's club options for 18 and 19, and the most he's ever going to make in a year, assuming that they pick up those options, the most he will top out at is $6.5 million. And he could end up as the batting title winner in the American League, and he's just tearing it up, and he doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. So This is just a huge thing for the Astros. I mean, this might be the greatest contract they've ever signed.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, to have a guy that's won the batting title making what he's going to make, and you got him under control now for a long time. And if you talk to Altuve, he's completely fine with it. He signed the contract, and he was having a pretty good year when he signed it, and he's like, that's cool. I want to stay here. I don't want to go anywhere else. I mean, he wasn't a free agent, so other teams didn't offer money, but I think he's very content here, and I think if he won three batting titles or four batting titles in those 4 years and made $12 million, I don't think it would bother him one bit. He just wants to get out there and play. And there's been two or three stretches this year where he's missed two or three games with little nagging injuries, and he's come back right out of the gate and got two or three hits like he was swinging the bat the whole 3 days and just couldn't wait to get back in there. He's 160 hits plus now, so he's certainly got a really, really good shot to get 200 hits and maybe even break Craig Biggio's record of 210. And if he can win a batting title, that would be even more impressive, considering all the great hitters that have come through Houston in, 53 years, and no one's won a batting title. And here you got this 5'6" guy that no one's ever believed in, and now he's about to win a batting title, and they got him under contract until he's 30 years old for very little money. It couldn't have gone much better with Astros.
Wow, yeah, it sounds like a storybook ending. We'll see how it goes, but it's good for the Astros fans to at least have that to sort of hang their hats on, and it makes it fun to watch this team every day. Anyway, Brian, thank you so much for your time, and good luck, and we'll be checking in with you soon.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.